Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now I'm going to speak, Krishna willing, on why ISKCON Salem works, referring to the ISKCON Center in Salem, Tamil Nadu, India. Over the years, ISKCON Salem has gradually been gaining a reputation. Visitors who have been to some other ISKCON centers, it quite often happens that people have been to other ISKCON centers, they notice a positive difference. It's gaining a reputation, gaining attention on the internet for videos showing the stone temple, traditional style of temple being built there, traditional style of cooking on a wood fire stove using traditional style utensils. But most of all, the atmosphere, which those who personally visit can experience. There's a strong spiritual atmosphere which is nourished by blissful kirtans 2, 3, 4 times a day. Well, there's Mangalarti, with first of all Mangalarti and then Nrsingha Tulsi Arati, then the Guru Puja Kirtan, evening kirtan also. There's usually quite a lot of devotees in that. And at midday also, not so many devotees. Usually the boys from the junior Gurukul, they come spontaneously and like to sing in that. That's just. But there are many other things going on. I don't want to go on too much because I don't want to make it sound like it's boasting, because I'm linked with that. And I'm also not saying that it's the only center, it's the best, and this is the only way to do things. Obviously, there are so many centers which are going on very well also. I was just informed a couple of days ago that there are over 400 ISKCON centers in India. I didn't know there were so many. But I'm especially talking about Salem, as it's a little famous, and if there is something good, you want to share it, so others can take advantage. And again, I'm not saying it's the only center that's going on well, but I'm involved with it, so I know something about how it's good and why it's good. And particularly because I'm now in Vellore, which is another city in Tamil Nadu, and the devotees here, they want to know how to reproduce the ongoing success there. What's the formula? What do we do? I hope I'm not writing the death warrant for ISKCON Salem by praising the devotees there, because pride can come before a fall. We have to be very... Praise is very, very dangerous in spiritual life. Materialistic people live in thirst of praise, but for persons trying to become spiritually advanced, it can be very, very dangerous. But the point is, if it's being done there, can it be done elsewhere? Yeah, why not? Actually, what I saw when I joined this movement in the 1970s was a very dynamic, expansive, focused, Krishna-conscious mood, Prabhupada-centered, and there's no reason why it can't be like that now also, anywhere in the world. The main thing is the attitude of the devotees involved. Srila Prabhupada writes in his preface to The Nectar of Instruction, which since the time I first read it so many years ago, has stuck in my mind as a principal sutra or aphorism that should always be remembered, that advancement in Krishna consciousness depends on the attitude of the follower. So yeah, if we have Kama Mishra Bhakti or Jnana Mishra Bhakti or Yoga Mishra Bhakti or deviation in the name of Bhakti, we're not going to get the same result as someone who is practicing Bhakti Anyabhilashita Shunyam, cultivating Anukulyena Krishna Anushilanam, cultivating a sense of wanting to do everything simply for Krishna's pleasure. And as we often used to hear in the 1970s, it's what is required is a service attitude, a selfless service attitude. I gave a talk fairly recently, earlier this year, on givers and takers in Krishna consciousness. There are some devotees whose attitude is to give themselves, pranar athar dhyavacha. They want to, they'll give their life, their money, their words, their mind. They want to give themselves fully in Krishna consciousness. And there are others who are takers. They want to take advantage of the institution to promote their own prestige or maybe to get some monetary gain. And there are some who are, there are some devotees who are somewhere in between. But the attitude of wanting to give ourselves to Krishna, atmanikshepa, this is the term used in the verse from Pancharatra regarding sharanagati, surrender to Krishna, throwing ourselves at Krishna, giving ourselves fully to Krishna, not holding anything back. So cultivating that attitude. Very important also, we're talking about the attitude of the individual for making advancement in Krishna consciousness, but working together, I'm talking about ISKCON Salem here, working together with a sense of mission and purpose. The general mission is to practice Krishna consciousness seriously, serving Srila Prabhupada's mission of delivering the conditioned souls, preaching. And the immediate mission is building a magnificent temple for the sake of furthering Srila Prabhupada's mission, for the sake of attracting people to Krishna consciousness. So this sense of mission gives purpose, gives direction, unity, and enthusiasm, and energy, and then it fosters dedication. This is something, we're all in it together. We're a team, and it's not that I never heard there are any pep talks where we're all doing this, we're in a team, but just it's unspoken, but understood by all. Krishna te kila cheshta. We're all here to serve Krishna. What we're here to do is for Krishna's pleasure, not for ourselves. And just to reinforce that point, in the ashram, the Brahmachari ashram, I think about 50 Brahmacharis or something there, It's not set up for personal comfort. It's set up for minimal living facilities, no, not for comfort. There's no electric current in the Brahmachari ashram. The idea is that if we have electric current, then we'll get so many gadgets, and then we'll, which will distract us, unnecessary things. We'll be up late with the lights on. No fans also in this season does make it difficult. But the idea is it should attract people who are very serious about Krishna consciousness. You might sound, well, they say, well, that's very austere, but people get used to it. Devotees get used to it. no beds, no luxury. It's just brahmachari life is meant for simple living. And like that, no excess gadgets. Most of the devotees have cell phones for keeping in contact with people they're preaching to. And it's practically, it's almost like a necessity in life today. But the most, except for those who may have a need for something more sophisticated, they'll have the most simple phones, which are just phones. They're not smartphones, just for making phone calls at all. So the idea is keep things simple and let's keep focused on service to Krishna. The devotee's lifestyle is simple. The kirtan style is simple. The cloth they wear is simple. The philosophy is simple. It's not that the devotees are simpletons, but they know their philosophy. But keep focused on the basics. We're here to serve Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada is his empowered representative in the modern age. People, when they come, many people are impressed by this, and they may be even shocked when they say there's no electricity in the Brahmachari ashram. Gokul Chandra, the temple president, Gokul Chandra told me once a group of people came from Bangalore. He was showing them around, showed them the big stone temple and all of this, and they're saying, "Yeah, it's quite interesting." But when what really shocked them in a positive way was when they saw the room he stays in, which is just a small room. And there's no bed. No, I sleep on the floor. And that really impressed them for some reason or other. From what I saw, that was the most common thing previously in India, that people would sleep on the floor. So the general mood there is, we're trying to do things the way that Srila Prabhupada wanted, consciously keeping Srila Prabhupada in the center, understanding what Prabhupada wanted. Prabhupada wanted book distribution, he wanted prasadam distribution, he wanted us to chant the holy names, he wanted us to read his books, and that's encouraged, all devotees are encouraged to read Srila Prabhupada's books. One devotee's main, the main service, what he does most of the day, every day, is to translate the transcripts of Srila Prabhupada's lectures in English and then dub them, the recordings in Tamil, so that devotees especially, or anyone else who may be fortunate enough to listen, devotees who don't know English and who know Tamil can hear what Srila Prabhupada says in this translated version. Simple also, the preaching programs, very simple, very straightforward, just straightforward preaching programs. We're Hare Krishna people, we come, we speak Bhagavad Gita philosophy, no frills, no personality development seminars or any such thing. We tell people, we're Hare Krishna people, we're coming here, we're going to speak on Bhagavad Gita, and that's what we do. And one thing that has been, this is a technique if you like, there's been a concentration on preaching and bringing in brahmacharis and training them. It's slow work compared to bringing in congregational devotees, but the focus has been on training brahmacharis first to get a core of solid devotees who are fully focused. And then after that, can concentrate more on expanding the congregation. And Krishna is sending sincere devotees. The training program, when you join, the first few months, the training program, your main service is cleaning the toilets. And then after that, there's graduation to cleaning the pots, which are huge cooking pots. We're cooking on a wood fire, which means there's all clay is put around the pots, and it's quite a job cleaning them. Training is mostly on-the-job training, with not a lot of training seminars. There are seminars on Prabhupada's books, but it's mostly on-the-job training, and with a lot of blissful kirtan, with dancing, simple kirtan tunes. The leader is so much important. The leader sets the whole tenor in any project. It makes such a difference, whether it's the leader of a nation, whether it's the leader of a family. At every level, the wards of the leader are very much affected by how the leader leads or misleads. In spiritual life, that begins with the guru. There are so many bogus gurus, and their followers are misled. If the guru, so-called guru, is materialistic, then the disciples will be. If the guru, we were so fortunate to have Srila Prabhupada as our guru. But it can be that the guru is good, but not all the followers are. And the subordinates of a personally motivated guru, they will not get, or one who is not what Srila Prabhupada called a transparent via medium. Someone who's bringing in their own desires, then those who follow after him will not get it'll be difficult for them to get the same result. Even there may be very good gurus, purely motivated, pure-hearted gurus. But under them, if there are leaders who have different motives, then the ones who are under them will suffer. Another point is that some devotees may be very, very good devotees, but not particularly suited for management. Now, of course, Srila Prabhupada said that if we have strong sadhana and stick to the basic principles, then management will follow automatically. But at the same time, we know from Bhagavad Gita, there's another, not to contradict Srila Prabhupada, but it's also in Srila Prabhupada's teachings, Krishna's teachings, that there are different kinds of people, different kinds of natures in the world, Brahmana spirit, Kshatriya spirit, Vaishya spirit, Shudra mentality. So there may be some devotees who are very good devotees, but for various reasons they may not be very as suited for management as others. They may be withdrawn by nature. They may be too innocent to deal with the world, or too sensitive to deal with the knocks of the roughness and toughness. It can be that some devotees who are in leadership roles, by their very attitude, they may not even know they're doing it, but they may inadvertently discourage others in devotional service. The leader at ISKCON Salem, the Tamil president, is Gokul Chandra Das, very good devotee. And again, I'm going to praise him, and he's going to hate me for, well, he's not going to hate me for it, but he's going to be embarrassed, I suppose. Yeah, he'll get to know of this. And He has many of the good qualities which other good leaders within our movement have. And again, I'm not saying it's just him, but I'm highlighting on a project, just like why you can talk in a general way about how things work in Krishna consciousness, but I'm speaking in a specific way, again, for those who are familiar with ISKCON Salem, which many of my disciples in India are, and they tend to look at that and think, yeah, that's a good model, we'd like to be like that. So I'm just summarizing some of the factors in its ongoing success. So the leader, Gokul Chandra Prabhu, he's spiritually well situated, which is of course required, because someone may be materially expert in management, but if they're not spiritually well situated, then they're not suited to be a spiritual leader. That means he personally sets an example, regular in Mangal Arati, he's there on time every day for Mangal Arati, may sometimes miss, rarely if he's sick, but unusual for him to miss. He's seen to chant his rounds. He's transparently selfless, not doing it for his own name, fame, glorification, or anything. And selfless and in having absorbed or imbibed the mood that Srila Prabhupada wanted to impart to us of acting within Krishna consciousness for the sake of wanting to benefit others, of bringing others to Krishna consciousness, engaging them in Krishna's service. Like so many of the devotees in this movement who have and are successful leaders, he's a preacher first and a manager second. Srila Prabhupada said that management follows preaching like a shadow. So his main aim is not to lead per se, but that comes automatically as part of the preaching. He doesn't, not that we're thinking I need a position, then I can do something, but he's let me serve Krishna, and things have developed in such a way. He keeps himself busy and sees that others are busy, also sees that others are engaged. They don't have lots and lots of free time to just space out or engage in gossip or excess sleep. At the same time, doesn't squeeze everyone so well. Sometimes, when we're building the temple, sometimes we go through periods of intense activity. But he's aware that devotees also need some time to unwind for reading. If they're sick, they need to rest. And he gives time for reading, makes sure that everyone is reading. Those who don't have the propensity to do so, then they'll just do a lot of service. But those devotees who are inclined to read and study the philosophy, he encourages that. And of course, to have the qualities of a leader, the kind that you might hear about if you go to a management seminar in the secular world, that's also very helpful. Is to be a good devotee but not well tuned into the material world, it's not so helpful if we're going to manage an institution for Krishna consciousness, which is, after all, within the material world, in the sense that we're interacting with people of this world. So it's good to have the kind of qualities that even materialistic people would recommend, and recommend for leaders, and Some people have them. Others can cultivate them to some extent, more or less. So I'm talking about Gokul Chandra here. He's generally quite level-headed. He has a vision, what he wants to do. We're going to build this temple. We're going to bring people for training, send them out to preach. Realistic also, not thinking of pie-in-the-sky plans, or if even some plan we have to do. We need someone to do this job. Who's going to do it? Someone. No, you have to think of someone. I was just discussing with devotees the other day. We're saying, well, we can do this. And then someone, and I'm saying, who? Let's be specific. You have to be realistic. Someone. When you're going to manage, you can't manage with a bunch of someones or anyones. You have to have specific people and see, are they free? Are they free to do the service? Are they suitable for doing the service? All these things have to be considered. A leader has to deal with all different kinds of people and deal with them in a manner that you get the job done and they are also satisfied in their dealings with you. And that's also not fully possible because some people are unreasonable. And especially in building the temple, we find all kinds of people trying to cheat us. Some people come forward and they're helping voluntarily, and others are trying to cheat. There are different kinds of people. So you have to be aware. Some people are trying to cheat you. Good leader has to, again, I'm thinking of Gokul Chandra as an example here. And devotees in Velo, you can go and visit, spend time, see how things are going on, try and imbibe and understand that and bring it back here also. Does the needful, sees that administrative matters, legal matters, they're not just left hanging in the air, they are dealt with. Health of devotees, personal health issues should be dealt with, safety issues. Cooking on a wood stove, there's a fire extinguisher right there in the kitchen, safety issues, building a temple, and the devotees working on the site, and others, devotees working on the site, I insisted on that. They have to wear safety helmets and suitable footwear. The outside workers, you can't force them to, and mostly they don't do it. That's up to them. Leaders, and Gokul Chandra, he's gradually gathered good people around with him, consults with them daily. We'll have a meeting with small group of the more senior devotees to discuss the various things that have to be dealt with. It's not that they're just sitting around gaffing all day. They're focused on what they're, and then they do what they're doing. And also not that he just consults with everyone and anyone, because everyone's got an opinion, but consults with devotees who are similarly focused and dedicated for the project, who have a level vision, so that he can get a level-headed vision. So he can get input from different angles of vision. So that's very important, that a leader is not just, well, what I think must be right. And sometimes we see people like that. They think, well, I'm the leader, and so what I think must be right. Some kind of idea of divine empowerment, but we may think we're so super intelligent, but one of the features of intelligence, a major feature of intelligence to be, is to understand that, well, I don't know everything, I don't understand everything, so it makes sense to consult others. At the same time, in consulting others, ultimately the leader has to make the decision and not be dithery. Decisions have to be made. And mostly, a good leader makes good decisions. based on understanding the situation, taking advice from others, and sometimes things don't work out as expected, even after consulting others. Sometimes mistakes are made. That's the way the world works, but a good leader generally makes good decisions and is able to tackle situations which arise when unexpected, untoward events happen, or some decision isn't that you've made, some program or some course of action isn't working out, you can adjust it. I heard recently that there was one temple and they'd made some decision, and one of my godbrothers told me, this is in America, temple had made some decision and then things weren't working out, actually going quite badly, and then they asked the leader above them what to do, and he said, well, you made your own bed, now sleep in it. Well, that's not the job of a leader. Even the subordinates may make some wrong decision, but if they come to you for help and they want help, then you should be able to help them and not just wash your hands Pontius Pilate-like. Everything ultimately he has to oversee. And of course, and then again, when there are more devotees, you can delegate, not that he has to put a plaster on someone who's had a minor cut. He doesn't have to see to every little thing. But So I'm talking about Gokul Chandra. He's a strong personality, respected, but at the same time doesn't rule by fear or by force or just by saying, look, I'm in charge, you do what I say. Sometimes you have to call rank like that. Sometimes when someone's just being unreasonable. Rarely you may have to do that. Generally you don't want people like that around too much. He's active and outgoing, gets out in the city, gets to know so many people, meets people when they come to the temple, meeting people at the ground level. He's not just sitting in some office and doing imaginary management with imaginary schemes, down to earth. He doesn't claim special privileges, even though devotees certainly would be ready to give him personal service in various ways. He tends to resist that when it's offered. How he sleeps on the floor, takes prasad with the devotees. He actually goes in the kitchen and cooks a lot. He likes to be with the devotees in the kitchen, cooking and then serving prasadam. He does have his own house. It's about 3 meters by 3 meters, one room, and it's just next to the brahmacharis. That's a place where he can withdraw sometimes for study. In the course of building this temple, he's been through a few crores of rupees, and he needs some more crores of rupees to finish it off. So anyone who has crores of rupees or lakhs of rupees or thousands of rupees or whatever you have, you're welcome to donate it. It all helps. But he'll go on the, when he has to go from one place to another, and he does travel quite a bit because he has to go to Rajasthan for getting marble and sandstone, and found some excellent artisans from Orissa. He goes by train, sleeper class, cheapest class, even on long journeys. So setting the example, not to spend Krishna's money unnecessarily. And I ask him about that. Well, why do you do that? And no one would object if you were to fly, as if you consider the amount of Lakshmi and the amount of people you're overseeing. If you compare that to some materialistic position in a company, you'd be in the flying class. But he said, no, I don't have time to read. He doesn't want to spend excess money. I have extra time to read. So when he doesn't claim special privileges like that, then others naturally also don't claim special privileges. He helps devotees to develop in their Krishna consciousness without indulging their whims. You know, there's discipline, but he helps people to come up. I was saying he travels to different places, but he doesn't travel unless he needs to. He's not just traveling here and there. Even there may be invitations now, less nowadays, much less because of the pandemic situation. But there may be invitations to come here and there, visit this place and that place and preach, but he hardly does that because he's focused on the project he's doing. And there are pros and cons of that also. If he does travel somewhere, it's usually for collection, or recently took devotees on a pilgrimage to Mayapur. So in this way, he's involved down to earth. He regularly gives seminars on Srila Prabhupada's books. Went through many of the small books, going through line by line, paragraph by paragraph, and does the everyone's working hard, time to time they more or less stop. With the construction in heavy mode right now, they haven't been able to stop for some time. But he has been doing, and just stop for a week and do intense concentration, Bhakti Shastra course, and emphasizing the, which all the devotees there have picked up on this. We have to understand the philosophy of Krishna consciousness through Srila Prabhupada's teachings, and encourages them to study, to learn shlokas by quoting shlokas in his talks. That encourages others also to do. He encourages others also to give classes, even quite junior devotees, so that all can develop as preachers with a shastric approach. And without stating as much so much, but overall discouraging or not promoting the idea of trying to show oneself to be a big shot, big devotee, lording it over others, bossing others around. There's no career ladder climbing. No one's ambitious to get up the ladder. And those who are, they don't go very far because there's no corporate career climbing there. So this kind of attitude and example and focus, it inspires faith in others and confidence that by serving here, by associating with these devotees, by taking this guidance, my best interests will be served. I came to this movement for Krishna consciousness. I can confidently integrate myself here. I can serve here and get what I came for, Krishna consciousness. Devotees are basically happy to follow. Not always. Some don't gel with the whole atmosphere. Some are more difficult types, but that's another quality of a leader, that he can also, that was a great quality of Srila Prabhupada. Practically everyone who came to him was a difficult type. And if they're too difficult, well, then you have to know also to keep them at some distance. So all this fosters a happy mood of cooperation without anyone pushing themselves forward, trying to show themselves to be very important, a strong team spirit. We're all working toward the same goal, pushing ourselves hard, being ready to do all kinds of services, and that's just the norm. Everyone's ready to do all kinds of services as required. It's not that you have to praise everyone for every little thing they do, but it's just like when I first came to India, I was surprised because if you ask someone the directions to go somewhere, and then you say afterwards, they tell you, say, "Oh, thank you," and they become surprised. Why thank you? No, why are you thanking me? It's my duty. So like that, it's not that you have to praise someone for doing the service to Krishna. It's just expected that everyone will do the needful and push themselves some more, do not just the minimum. So there is some, among the devotees, there is some feeling or understanding that, yeah, this is something good going on here. But at the same time, not boasting that, yeah, we're so great, we're so wonderful, we're the best. And painting a rosy picture. But definitely there are problem cases among the devotees, some difficult types. There are problems, there will be problems. The whole material world is full of problems. Everyone's mind is full of problems. The main problem is forgetting Krishna, and it manifests in so many strange ways that people think and act when we're not focused on serving Krishna. So I'm not saying that everyone there is perfect or Paramahamsa. Everyone comes with various anarthas, various dirty things in the mind, internal struggles. To be frank, there have been some very severe difficulties there at ISKCON Salem. And it can happen. It no doubt will happen. There will be more. But I'm just trying to give an idea here how sincere devotees or sincerity in devotional service can be cultivated, and when a group of devotees come together, that things can develop in a very pleasing manner, pleasing to those who participate, because and pleasing to Srila Prabhupada and Krishna, and even pleasing to even non-devotees who come. And they feel pleased. Yayatma supracedati, because pure devotional service to Krishna does satisfy the heart. And in this way, projects can and should develop. It's not just buildings and money and big things we're doing, lots and lots of followers, but actually developing Krishna consciousness, pure devotional service to Krishna. And I'm not saying that all centers have to be like ISKCON Salem, or that all leaders have to be exactly like Gokul Chandra. Like I say, he's one. There are quite a few leaders within our Krishna consciousness movement who are known for being steady, dynamic leaders for many, many years. He's just one, but still, leader means above the other. He's looked up to by others, special personality, no doubt, and probably he'll be embarrassed with all this, and I hope the Salem devotees don't get proud on hearing this, because pride comes before a fall. I also have a role in this. I'm also involved in ISKCON Salem and several other centers which are going on with a similar mood. I try to give some direction of what should be done, keep things simple, what Srila Prabhupada's desires are. I've been able in Salem and some other places to train devotees to some extent in what I understand Srila Prabhupada's desires is a certain approach to Krishna consciousness. And one thing the Valor devotees can consider also is that it's taken more than 20 years to develop to this point. It's not going to happen overnight. It can be done here or in any other place, that there can be thriving centers of Krishna consciousness. But it will take some time. There has been a start made here, but it's time for a fresh start. What is required? Utsaha nishadharyat tat tat karma pravartanat. It's enthusiasm, determination, patience, step by step. It won't happen overnight. But things can start to pick up wonderfully, no doubt. And there'll be a lot of struggle also, no doubt. If something good is going to come, we're going to have to go through a lot of struggle and hard work, just like Srila Prabhupada went through so much struggle and so much hard work to bring this movement up in the first place. For various reasons, here it hasn't developed so much. Standards have to be raised. Step by step, but not too slow. We should think of Vamana steps rather than snail crawling. And we should appreciate devotees who have brought the sacrifices, hard work, and contributions of the devotees who have brought this project to the stage it is at the present time. So I'll conclude this by saying again, please excuse me if this sounds personal trumpet blowing, but I'm not saying, and obviously it's not a fact that I'm the best, everything we do. This kind of thing, if I hear that, I become very afraid because it makes me think of the Bhagawan time in Europe, and Bhagawan was the best, he's on top of the world, and our zone is the best, and then collapse. So, sadhu savdhan, be careful. Do big work and keep a low profile. That's the best thing. Push Krishna, that's what Srila Prabhupada did, right? Push Krishna forward, not himself. So I'm just speaking from my experience, a little summary especially for the devotees here, because they're close to Salem and they've seen something wonderful is going on there. They want to reproduce that. So I'm just giving a little idea of what can and should, and by Krishna's grace, will be done here also. And others may also be interested to hear this and maybe learn and be benefited from this. Hare Krishna, vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhubhyascha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dante nidhaya trinakam padaya nipatya kritva chakaku shatameta daham bravimi. Hey sadhava sakala eva vihaya durad gauranga chandra charane kurutanuraga parivadatu jano yata tatava nanu muk karo navayam vicharayamaha hari rasa madira madati matta Bhuvivilu Tama Nartama Nirvisharma. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare.